You head to the Stanley Fencing and Gates hotline where Vince Farrar and I get to say hello to Jesse Smithy of 5starpreps.com. Jesse, how are you?
Doing well, guys. How are y'all today?
Doing quite well. And you sound awfully chipper for somebody who, like hundreds of others that shared on social media, got the rejection letter from Augusta when it came to your search for 2022 tickets.
Well, here's the thing. I think in my journalism career, I think I've spent 51 days covering the Masters, and most people would kill to go down there for one day. So I've been blessed beyond my wildest dreams as times I've been able to go down there. So, and I think the last day that I was down there, Tiger Woods won the Masters.
Jesse, did we lose you?
Just because they've never been able to experience that, but I've been down there, and so if I get rejected, I can stomach it a little easier.
Listen to Jesse. I think I've been covering it for 51 days.
like total humble brag.
Right.
Total humble brag there.
And not only that, like, it's so exact. Like who's counting? It's exactly 51 days.
Yeah, so we were packing up around the house once, and I had to bag up all of my Masters credentials, and so I remember going through my head like the amount of days that I've been down there. So I've been able to go down there, and that was one of my dreams when I got into sports journalism. So again, been blessed to have seen it, and can't wait for the stories I hear for first timers coming out of Augusta next year.
Well, everybody knows how outstanding you and your team are when it comes to covering prep sports, especially high school football. But if you haven't seen or witnessed Jesse Smithy covering a golf tournament, he's outstanding, just as outstanding, equally outstanding is the phrase I'll go with, in doing that. But can you believe it, Jesse, that we are inside of 4 weeks to the first high school football game?
I can. We've been at it for a while this off season, if you want to call it that, and covering a lot of 7-on-7, and now I've gotten to that point, guys, where I'm tired of seeing 7-on-7. I'm ready for the real thing. I'm ready for scrimmages to start, and that's going to happen around July 29th, July 30th is when we'll see the guys really put on pads and really start to go against other teams. And I always remind people on this show that we didn't get to have that last year. We didn't get to have scrimmages from with one school going against another, and so it really diminished the product a little bit once the season began in mid to late August. It really took 2 or 3 weeks for teams to really start to look like themselves. And so I'm just looking forward to that, just getting back to scrimmages and really getting an idea of what these teams are going to look like come week one. And so it's crazy to think about it, though, that there's going to be jamborees in just, what, 3 weeks or so, 3-4 weeks. And so really looking forward to it. We've been rolling out a lot of preview information. We still got so much more to unveil on our site, and it's the fun time of year for us.
Jesse, you know, in college football, when you watch spring games, there can be spring stars, and those guys never see the light of day in the real season, or just never develop. Is that the case with your experience in watching some of the 7-on-7s, even when you get into scrimmage and jamboree time, to where you kind of have to take it with a grain of salt based on some of the performances you see?
Right, yeah. I'm trying to temper my expectations for Catholic quarterback Jared Neal, because he's a freshman. He's still built like a freshman. He's looked extraordinary at times in 7-on-7. I mean, they won a 7-on-7 championship against Powell inside Neyland Stadium, and he's performed well in other 7-on-7s. He's also going to be playing in the most difficult classification in Tennessee high school football, going against the likes of McCauley and Baylor and Brentwood Academy, and Catholic's got a really demanding schedule this year. And so I'm not saying he's not going to be able to perform when the pads go on. I'm just saying I'm trying to temper expectations for him, because he's looked so great at times during 7-on-7. So really, there have been a number of players from various schools that we saw make big-time catches, acrobatic catches. They look good. They pass the eye test in 7-on-7, but we'll really be able to tell if they can withstand the physicality of the game and the speed of the game here in about a week or so.
Jesse, at KFOA Media Day, I remember talking to a bunch of coaches, and several of them, when they got to the schedule, said, man, I don't know what idiot made this schedule for us this year. And I think part of that is some of these schools moving into different different regions. What are some, you said the word reminder earlier, remind our listeners some of the most noteworthy changes in regions for some of the area high school teams.
Right. So I think one of the bigger ones is that we've spotlighted a little bit is the transition for a program like South Doyle, who was in the Class 5A state semifinals a year ago and oh so close to going on to play for a state championship. They end up losing, I think, 14-0 against Oak Ridge, but now they move down into 4A. And that's the realm of Elizabethan, who's won back-to-back state championships in 15-0 fashion, and Greenville before them in 15-0 fashion in 2017 and 2018. And Anderson County is a big power in Class 4A. And so now you throw Anderson, or you throw South Doyle in the mix there, and it really strengthens the field in East Tennessee when it comes to Class 4A football. So, and for Anderson County, they're not in a region now with all these Chattanooga teams. They're going against some of the likes of some of the area's best. So it's really going to, I think, improve the schedule quality. And we ranked, I think, 10 or 12 so teams of who's got the toughest schedules in our coverage map. And Anderson County's in there. South Doyle's in there. Catholic, like we mentioned, is in there. So it's really going to improve the quality of play and the quality of product that we get just as lovers of high school football here in East Tennessee this season.
It's always neat when you shine the spotlight on those that deserve it for their incredible performances. Not only was it exciting to see you guys announce the five-star Preps 2021 baseball team and soccer team, but also great at the same time that you got community support to sponsor both.
Right. There are a number of sponsors in the area that popped up and really helped us put out all of our spring sports teams. New Balance Knoxville got in there. Dead End Barbecue got in there. Cedar Bluff Racket, the Royal Industries got in there, Elite Softball Recruiting popped up and helped us put out our all softball team. So it's fun to see them support high school athletics and do that. And putting out those teams is very difficult. We have to talk to a lot of coaches and request a lot of information and do our best to put those out there. So it's a labor of love for sure, and something that usually takes us, I mean, it took us over a month this year to put that out, and so we're glad to finally got those out there. If you don't see them on our homepage, you can go look under the specific sport that you want and find that information. Anytime we recognize these athletes, it's going to be free on our website, so you don't have to be a member to check out who we selected and who we honored this year.
How good for those that didn't get to see him was Webb's Ben Penske as the Boys Soccer Player of the Year?
Phenomenal, and it was really hard. I mean, to pick a player of the year this year, because you had Sevier County winning a championship for the first time ever. You had the unbelievable story of Austin East winning a state championship this year. But when you look at the body of work of Webb School of Knoxville's boys soccer team, it was unmatched. They went 20-0. They won a private school state championship, which is very, very difficult. And they beat some of the area's teams, all of the elite area teams. And so it was what they were able to achieve and what Ben Penske did to lead that charge. It was just, once we really put it down and mapped it out on paper, I mean, he was the clear-cut winner. And so he's been very appreciative of the recognition. He reached out to us, and even his parents reached out to us and thanked us. So it's remarkable to see what he did this year, and certainly a worthy winner of our five-star Preps Boys Soccer Player of the Year.
Back to the gridiron, I guess we shouldn't be shocked at all that a Maryville quarterback is on his way to Furman, right?
We should not be, no. But, I mean, if you look back at some of the quarterbacks that Maryville has had, which hasn't been too many since George Quarles left, I think 2016 was his last full season at Maryville. So we've got, three, 4 years since he's been gone. It's not like he's just swooped in and just offered Maryville players left and right. He's been really selective about their needs at Furman and what they want, and so I think it's an even bigger feather in Carson Jones's cap to know that George Quarles just doesn't flippantly throw out offers to Maryville players because he used to coach there. And so when he offers you, it really means something. And I think Carson Jones got that offer on a Friday maybe, and then a couple days later he went ahead and committed. I think he realized the opportunity that he had to not only learn from Quarles' understudy, Derek Hunt, who's now the head coach at Maryville and has led them to state championships, but then you can go on and continue your progression as a quarterback and learn from one of the area's best coaches ever at Furman, with George Quarles, who's the offensive coordinator there. So really kind of neat story there, and a great opportunity for Carson Jones.
Jesse, Jimmy and I asked you last week about Walter Nolan, the potential of him transferring from the western part of the state, ESPN's number one overall rated player that certainly Tennessee is after, the potential of him moving to Knoxville and going to one of the area schools, Powell, Catholic, maybe a Maryville. Heard anything in the last week in terms of that front and where he might land if he moves here?
I have not, but isn't this indicative of where things are going? It's really a trickle-down effect from college football down into the waters of high school football, where in college you have kids leaving, going in through the transfer portal, and there's all kinds of inquiries as to where they might end up. And now we're seeing it trickle down into high school, where it's a public thing now. It's a public inquiry. I see media members tweeting at this kid. We got to remember, he's a high school kid, and we have adult media members just out in the open saying, hey, where are you going to be playing this fall? People want to know. And these kids become high-profile athletes so much sooner and quicker now because of social media, and it almost feels like they're adults, like they've been doing this for years. So there's a lot of intrigue around Walter Nolan, a lot of people that have been talking about him for some 2 to 3 months now. I do know that he's made some visits to a couple schools in Knoxville. I've also heard that he's looking at some of these national academies. So if he shows up here, again, like I think I told Jimmy last week, I'm sure he'll announce it on Twitter first, like these guys do nowadays, and we'll just all kind of adjust afterwards. But I haven't heard any type of clear indicator as to where he might go.
Do you know of, are you aware of any high school kids with any sort of name, image, and likeness deals that they've already been able to strike?
I don't. I see kids here and there say that get some equipment from a manufacturer, whether it's a golfer or a baseball player, but that stuff's been allowed for a while. So it's really hard to decipher if that's something that's happened under the new NIL stuff or something that's already been in place. But I haven't seen an athlete that I cover come out publicly and say, or promote products or anything like that. I have talked to Bernard Childress, the executive director of the TFFAA, about that, and they are concerned. They have spoken with the NFHS about this and kind of what type of plan needs to be in place. It's going to be upon them to handle these situations in a situation-by-situation basis, depending on what the athlete is doing or what's happened with that athlete. So I don't know if they can blanketly police this thing. I think they're going to have to do it as they come, but it's definitely something that's put up a red flag for the TFFAA.
Jesse, there's a boatload of great content at 5starpreps.com. Some of the things, you start looking at some of the underdog teams that could really step up. Rockwood would be a name to throw out there, and you've also got great player profiles on a senior receiver at Central and so much else, but always appreciate your time. Thank you so much, and have a great weekend.
All right, thanks, guys. Talk to you next
week.
Thank
you. Yes, sir. Jesse Smithy of 5starpreps.com joining us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline.